y'all here on this wet, rainy day here in sunshiny Florida. And it does grieve our heart to think about the loss of Brother Roskina and be in prayer for Sister Lois. She is here. Now, India is there. So it's never a difficult, never an easy situation. It does make it a little bit more difficult when there's that separation. So be in prayer for them as arrangements be made. And, I don't know anything as of when, where, or what at this point. So as soon as we know information and the family has said we can tell or they put it out, then you'll know. Well, we can all pray. We certainly can. We can pray for them. Don't forget, if you're here tonight and have not signed the waiver form and your child's going to camp, we need it tonight before you leave. It sure helps us to have all that cared for before Sunday morning, chasing parents around trying to get that worked out. So if you are here and have not signed the waiver form, please see Kinley. She has them with her that you'll need. So I think it's about four of them that's left. So if you're here and have not signed the waiver form. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Tonight, as you look through the scriptures, the devil, he has many different references as names, like dragon, the murderer, serpent, thief, roaring lion, prince of power of the air, god of the world, accuser, deceiver, father of lies. But here in this verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the adversary, our enemy, is a roaring lion, and he is all of those. When the Bible talks about it, it says here in verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." When you look at all these other names that is given for Satan throughout Scripture, you know, like dragon, murderer, serpent, adversary, enemy, roaring lion, and all the other ones I named there, but then you see this verse, and it's quite a contrast in this being, Satan. Now listen, he was once an archangel. He had a high seat in heaven. His story, if you just go back and you just read Isaiah chapter 14, and you'd read Ezekiel chapter 28, and you'd look through there and study it, and look at it, you know, he is not always in this light as serpent or dragon or murderer or accuser. And you look at him, I mean, he had a high seat there in as the archangel. And so you see this and you run across a verse like this one, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light." Now, Romans tells us that we are to be transformed. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, we're with something that we were some, and we need to be trained, changed, and transferred over to. And now, here's Satan with all this here. And then all of a sudden, God warns us and gives us a warning. And a strong warning, and no marvel, for for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. So I just started pondering this and looking at it. Now there's many demons. The Bible talks about there was one third of the angels that was cast out with Satan himself. Now those are demons. There's only one devil, many demons, but I'm telling you what, his ways are full of deceit. Full of deceit. And the devil is a very powerful being. We have to be very careful. Even Michael, whenever he was confronted with the devil himself, he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." Now, this is, now, if you go and study it in the angels, one angel, I mean, took care of a whole army. So these are powerful beings given their power by God. And Satan himself is a powerful, powerful being. That's why the Bible teaches us that we're to be simple to the wicked. We got too many of our Christians running around here devving off into wickedness. Listen, it is dark. It's demonic. Well, I'm saved and I cannot be possessed. Oh, dear friend, but you can be oppressed. You can be troubled. You can be depressed. You can be deceived. The devil is very powerful. Remember in the book of Acts where the sons of Sceva came upon some demons. And the devil said, And the question was asked them, "Who are you?" So when I read these verses, I look at this, and you know, John says he's the father of lies. And I begin to think about it. You know, you and I, as humans, we can be repulsed by the actions of some people. But this Lord, this day's now, people aren't repulsed. I remember growing up, and you know, this is just how it was. If a fight was to break out, we didn't start filming it. I mean, you know, we didn't get our cameras out and, "Ooh, look what's going on here." I mean, it was like, "Wow, look at what's happening." People are not, they're not troubled by that anymore. People are not troubled by seeing a young lady beat down by a teenage boy. When we was growing up, Brother Watson said, if a teenage boy was to jump on a girl, he was whooped. Real quick. It's just that simple. You know, nowadays, what is all the boys doing? They're filming this. Standing back and saying, "Oh, wow." We're just filming. We're not troubled. This is why Satan comes as an angel of light, because we should be bothered by somebody that's called a murderer, a thief, somebody break into your car and steal something. I mean, you're like, you'd be repulsed at that. You'd be bothered, you'd be troubled by it. So what does he do? And God wants us to understand, wants us to know, and he comes as an angel of light. And listen, church, we got to be careful. We got to quit underestimating the devil. We got to quit underestimating and understand that the devil hates God. And if he hates God, he hates us. We're his representative. Here on this earth, the Bible says that we have been given the ministry of an ambassadorship. Once we became saved, we trusted Christ as our Savior, we took on a new nature, and we were grafted into the family of God, and we are given this here ministry to represent Christ here upon this earth, and we are his ambassadorship. And you know, so if the devil hates the Lord, matter of fact, Jesus said, listen, don't be like, understand this, they hated me before they hated you. So the devil's not your buddy. So But why would God write down in the Word, it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So I began to think about this. I began to ponder this. Why would he do this? And how does he do this? How does he transform himself into an angel of light? I said, well, go back to the very beginning. First mention of Satan. Every time I've got a question, every time I've got a thought, I want to run back to the very first principle, or every first thought. And the first introduction we have of Satan is as a serpent. Well, you know, okay, a serpent's not an angel of light, so that didn't help me connect it. But what was Satan trying to do in this situation? Satan was trying to pretend that to be something that he was not. And what was it? When you look at the story back there in Genesis, early in the Genesis, you look at it, Satan came along as a serpent, but in his pretending to be, he tried to be and pretended to be the friend of Eve. Think about the story. Yea, God said, that's cast a little doubt. Let me tell you something, teenagers. Listen to me. You got a friend or buddy or girlfriend or somebody at school, somebody at, on your Instagram or on your... And they say, your parents really don't mean that. I'm going to tell you, pack up your bags. Find you some new friends. Because they start casting doubt on authority, dear friend. That's not the friend you need. You're going to wind up having yourself in a whole bunch of trouble. And that goes for us grown-ups, too. You got some folks coming around and spending time with you, and they say, well, does the Bible really say? It's time to pack up. It's time to cut the conversation. When they start trying to cast doubt upon the Word of God. So he was pretending to be what he's not. What is a friend? What was he trying to do? Well, God does. He knows it, and he's holding back from you. And he knows when you partake of this, you're going to be wise. You're going to know good from evil. So he was pretending to be something. There's listening. He carefully concealed his true motives. His true motives was to attack God's creation. And to cause man to utterly be separated. Oh yeah. And what happened? We know then the story. Then the story was Adam and Eve, their disobedience cost them more than they could ever imagine. I mean, to me, the greatest cost of all. Do you realize that Adam and Eve was the only one that saw God face to face as humans? We know that sin... Moses, such a great man. Moses, hide yourself over there in those rocks. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to let you see just the hinder part of my glory. The only human. Can you imagine with just one moment? Oh, it's coming today, dear friend, where I want to see my Maker face to face. They lost such an opportunity to fellowship with Him face to face. Now you and I have to look in a mirror. We get to see a little bit of God's glory. We get to glimpse at it a little bit. But Adam and Eve saw Him. They saw Him and they fellowship with Him. And there was a garden that was made by the very voice of God for them. And they lost that. There was an angel that was placed there as a testimony of what they had lost. I mean, he pretended to be what he was not. So, if we, as God's children, are representative of Christ, then those that know not Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're an everyday representative of their home front. So there's only two eternal places, heaven and hell. And we either represent our home in heaven or we're representing the other option. So if he transforms himself into an angel of light, be very careful with those that would represent darkness. And they pretend to be what they're not. So marvel not that he would transform himself. And think of that. Well, the one way he would do it, he would pretend to be what he is not. He is not your friend, dear friend. He is not on your side. Not at all. Secondly, by transforming himself to angel light, by making that which is wrong appear to be right. Evil nowadays is appearing, if we're not careful, to be right and to be okay. Well, what's the cause of that? I'm going to tell you what the cause is you and I, as God's children, we don't exercise discernment. We're going to use Scripture and exercise discernment, just like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. He used Scripture. So when the angel of light comes around here, the devil himself and the deceiver, the accuser, and he begins to try to make that which has been wrong by God. God said, listen, if God said it was wrong in 4000 B.C., he ain't changed his mind on it yet. It's still wrong today. Still wrong today. Well, how does he do it? Just what? How many of you have heard this? Well, it can't be wrong because everybody else is doing it. Really? Have you heard it? That is a transforming themselves into an angel of light. This is how he does it. Everyone else is doing it. It can't be wrong because if it was wrong, everybody wouldn't be doing it. You know what that's called? Circular reason. When we have an absolute authority that says it's wrong, God himself, it's wrong. It's simply wrong. Simply wrong. Here's a good illustration. How many of you notice here lately that all the commercials are trying to make sin very, very attractive? Every commercial out there. Every commercial out there. So what did he do? You need to quit spending so much time watching that because it's affecting how you think. Our eye is a gateway to our mind and to our heart. Be very careful with this, dear friend. Because everything that is good is called bad. And everything bad is just made to be good. Everything. How does that happen? And marvel not, for Satan himself has been transformed into the angel of light. So he pretends to be what he's not. He's not your friend. He came along as Miss Eve's friend. And Adam's friend. He's not your friend. It cost him everything. And then he makes that which is wrong appear right and evil to appear good. That's not the only way. This is what else he does. He makes it seems to us and to everybody else that cowardice is noble. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. We are ashamed many times to acknowledge our relationship with Christ. And that's cowardice, dear friend. And he says, oh, that's noble. You know what he says? Have you ever heard this? I'm only being modest. I'm not going to speak out on that because I'm being modest. That's being cowardice. The whole thing that's going on around here, dear friend. I don't want to make a fool of myself and rock the boat. Well, I can do more by keeping quiet about this. Really? If you're in the bank robbery, if you're in the bank over there at Bank of America, and you're sitting off in the corner, and a bank robbery's going on, and you have your cell phone sitting over there beside you, and he don't recognize, and the bank robbers don't know that you have it, well, just sit in silence, because I can do more. You could have dialed 911. Couldn't you? This is how he transforms himself into an angel of light. He convinces us, just be quiet about this. You don't want to rock this. Sometimes I know you leave here and think you've got the awfulest pastor in the world. I just know it. I know it to be so, and I know when you go home you're mad because there he goes. He's telling us that we shouldn't be doing this or doing that. No, dear friend, I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm just telling you what God said. And I'm just saying, you know, and so God told me to not look out at the crowd and fear your snarls. That's what he said. You know, and so I don't want you to think, I want to just shut my mouth because you growled at me. Oh, why is he saying that again? Because listen, the devil would have me to shut up. Look over in Psalms 107. So y'all know I have some back in here from God. And I just listened. I'm telling you, I know times have changed. I know we're not living back in the Bible times. No, we're living in God's time. This is still God's time, by the way, dear friend. Psalms 107. Listen to what it says here in verse 2. Psalms 107, verse 2. The Bible says this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of who? The enemy. We still got a trumpet, dear friend. We got to talk about it. If it was wrong 10 years ago, it's wrong today. If it was wrong 100 years ago, it's wrong today. If it was wrong 1,000 years ago, it's wrong today. I'm not going to quit talking about things that are wrong because they're not popular. Immorality is still immorality. It's just how it is. Drugs are still drugs. And it's wrong. Loose living is wrong. And it's still wrong. And it's going to be wrong because it's just simply wrong. Okay, so he pretends to be what he is not. He's not your friend. He pretends to be, so that's one way. He begins to make things appear to be wrong that are right. And then he tries to convince us, well, don't say nothing about that because you're going to really, really rock the boat. And he makes us to be cowards. And then he begins to try to convince us that compromise is the best way. He wants us to compromise on reaching the lost. He wants us to compromise on the way God says we ought to raise and rear our families. He wants us to compromise on how our country should have and should be run. Well, we don't want to offend everybody. He transforms into an angel of light. And at the end, his end game is deception. That's why he pretends to be an angel of light. By saying, don't do it today. Do you understand something, dear friends? Satan doesn't ask you to never, ever, ever get saved. You know what he does, Brother Biff? Just do it later. Ain't right, Brother Jim? He don't come to you and say, don't ever, ever, ever clean up your life and live godly. Just do it later, right? Just later. Just do it later. You know what he says? Well, you know you should join the church, but just not today. Do it later. Just down the road sometime. Well, you know you should be given properly and correctly according to Scripture, but not today. Later. Later. And he says, well, you know there are lost folks in this world, and you should be involved in witnessing for Christ because that's a biblical principle. Just do it later. Let's just do it later. You know how he transforms himself into an angel of light? He gives you a little bit of truth and convinces you to just do it later. That's what our bodies does. You really need to be exercising, but let's do it later. That's the flesh. And marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know what? Jesus is never fooled by Satan's ways. Because Jesus is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not confused. He's not deceived. Why are you and I so deceived? Because we reject truth. The truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. We've got to have a direction. We've got to have an absolute. Sister Yalvara, I was talking with her right before church, and 1 John 5:13 says it best. These things are written that you may know. We have to have an absolute. Because if we don't have an absolute, then we're a double-minded person and we're tossed to and fro. And we never settle. Remember what I told you? Jesus conquered Satan and his ways and the wiles of the devil by Scripture. That's our greatest example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's how the Lord, which is all powerful, did he not say in Matthew, all power is given unto me? So if the Lord, the all powerful Lord, used Scripture, don't you think that's our example? And that's how we should follow it? Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And listen what it says in verse number 57. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did Jesus defeat Satan? Through Scripture. How are you and I going to recognize the transforming of himself to an angel of light? Scripture. I've showed you this verse before. Go back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 20, verse 8. First instinct, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no life in them. What is kind of the forefront of everything? Everybody should have their own opinion, right? Opinions are great. But what are opinions? They're not absolutes. Dick, you can have your opinion. I can have mine. There's got to be a truth somewhere. Brother Jim, you can have your opinion. I can have mine. But there has to be truth somewhere. Opinions are not absolute. Brother Ethan, since you were 18, you're a young man, and since you were 18 to now, has any of your opinions ever changed from that point to now? That's what happened to Jason. From your 18th birthday to now, you've had some opinions change? Could it have been you got hitched up here recently and got a helpmeet? Helpmeet is a completer, right? You folks been married a while, so you're young marriage. Could that have been? Yeah, because I'll tell you, my wife has influenced my opinion, but she's never influenced the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Because an opinion is an opinion, and my opinion might be right, your opinion might be right. And we get our two opinions together, and we weigh them out. But when my wife and I look into the Word of God, her opinion's gone, my opinion's gone. And God is. And look at it. If we're going to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in what? Truth. You know why Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever? And He's not transforming Himself here to there? Because He's absolute. He's the same. You know why the Satan has to transform himself? Because he is not truth. His best way to do it, Ashton, I'm telling you, is to take a little bit of truth and feed it to us. And get us to buy in on it. Why should we settle for a little bit of truth? That's like a young lady and a young man and a young man's courting and fooling around trying to win the young lady's heart, and he is only willing to give her a little bit of his heart. Because after all, there's a whole bunch of fish in the sea. So I gotta save. Really? If you want her, she needs to have it all. God has given us his heart. He gives us all of his truth. Not just a little bit here, a little bit there, just to confuse us. God's not a God of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. So he gives you a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. I am so thankful that I can play and live and act upon a non-changing truth. And principles and precepts, the Word of God, that He settled. They're forever settled. So when I looked at that verse and I began to look at the names of the devil and Satan himself, now I understand. This is how he does it. He pretends to be my friend, pretends to be something that he's really, really not. He tries to make that which is which is evil appear good and right and acceptable, and we have bought in as a nation hook, line, and sinker. And may I say, many of our church folks have bought in. Bought in. Why do you know? Because it's been told in many business meetings throughout our churches in America, Pastor, you can't take that stand. You're going to run folks off. Can't say it like that. You got to be a little bit more smooth. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Gets down into the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Word of God. By making us cowards, making us seem to take the noble high road, then by helping us to find ways to compromise. Isn't that the old sin of Balak and Balaam? Those two getting it confused. Balaam, yep, it was Balaam and his donkey that had to get him on the right narrow way. Balaam just come up with a way of compromise. That's the devil's way. Come up with a way. Stand firm on the truths of the Word of God. And remember this, in this thought tonight as I close. We are in a spiritual battle. So if we're in a spiritual battle, I think we should spend more time fighting spiritual battles than fighting each other. This is a spiritual thing. All right? And so that was the thought for tonight. An angel of light, don't be fooled and hoodwinked thinking he's your buddy. He's a destroyer of relationships, destroyer of everything godly. Yeah? Antichrist. That's what he is. Let's stand to our feet. Old Satan, slew foot himself. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful rain you sent our way. God, one of our own is hurting tonight. Hearts aching. Her daddy's with you. Lord, we pray that you'd comfort her. I pray, God, you'd give Brother Josh wisdom beyond years to be able to comfort Sister Lois tonight. In the next coming days, Lord, Miss Cindy Ann in India. May Zach, Lord, have the wisdom of God to be able to comfort his wife. Those two young girls, that their daddy's gone. And Lord, I pray that you'd help this family. They have served us well as missionaries. I pray, God, you bring comfort tonight. For those that are here and on the way home, as we dismiss, I pray you protect them, keep them safe, help them, Lord, to enjoy the rest of their evening, understanding that Satan is a transforming angel of light. He deceives. He brings destruction in his path. I thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that you have given us a book, written it down so we can read it, understand it, hide it in our heart, and live by it. And the games, the rules of life, and the rules that you have given us to live by, your principles and precepts are non-changing. God, I don't like them many times. I'm being honest with the church. I'm being honest in this prayer. There's times in this old flesh that it fights and kicks against your principles. But when I step back and I see how good you have been, and I reevaluate where I am in my relationship with you, I realize the flesh must die and I must decrease. And then that hunger and that thirst for righteousness prevails once again. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for a Bible that we can hold and have and live by. Thank you so much for being a kind and generous God that doesn't change. But you're the same. We can know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.